Well, hi, everybody. This is Laurie Handlers, and you're listening to another episode of Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. And I welcome you with Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. I come in peace to you all the time. Peace, peace, peace. So I just want to let you know that you can email me anytime, Laurie@tantracafe.com. That's L-A-U-R-I-E at tantracafe.com. You can find out more about me that way if you want to send me an email, make suggestions, or find out anything about the guests that I have on the show. Any questions that you might have, please don't hesitate to write me on that email or find me on Facebook or Twitter. Well, you know, when I think about images of soldiers being lovers, old World War II movies come into my mind. I picture Robert Mitchum and I picture John Wayne. I guess I'm aging myself here, but I picture these guys docking into a port and finding available ladies to kiss and smooch with and dance with. And, you know, possibly they never showed it back then, but it was the illusion that they were going to eventually make love to these ladies or sometimes come home to their lady waiting at home. My guest today claims to be a warrior turned lover. Let's find out whether his picture corresponds to mine. Sean Roop has been a student and teacher of life wisdom since 1989. Sean holds a bachelor's in sociology, a master practitioner of NLP. He's also a certified tantric therapist and certified master tantric counselor. Sean's been teaching tantra and sacred sexual wisdom to individuals and groups worldwide since 2000. He has a group, he has a website, and he runs something called Tantra Quest, which is a tantra training center. And he's also been featured on numerous media appearances on NBC, Fox, Elle, the Travel Channel, USA, and Playboy Radio. So we're going to hear from Sean today about how he turned from warrior to lover and how that gets played out in his world, my world, and the world of tantra. So, Sean, welcome to my show.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Yeah, thanks. It's wonderful to have you. And I especially want to find out how a trained warrior, you'll have to tell us what that training is, whatever, you know, how a warrior could turn into a lover and want to say that about himself, like want to advertise that's who he is. Like, what is the, you know, how would that make a difference in our world? So tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, there's really interesting that my path, it feels like I've lived so many lives already. Even though I'm at the ripe young age of 38 now. When I was younger, I was in the military. I joined when I was 19 years old. But even before I went in the military, I actually joined the police academy, and at 18, I was attempting to become a police officer.
And you were going to be a police officer, and you didn't do that. You didn't.
I went to the police academy, and I am so blessed to have had a sergeant who actually was a local policeman in my city, because I was in Orange County, California. And the interesting thing is all the little cities all share one police academy. So it's not like one police academy for each police department. They all share one community college does the police academy for everyone. And so he happened to be one of the trainers, and he knew me. And he basically sat me down about 5-6 weeks into the program, and he goes, look, here's the deal. You're 18 years old. You can't even go into a bar to break up a fight. Do you realize that? Like, it'd be illegal for you to walk into a bar to break up a fight. And he said, there's so much life to live. And right now, you're going to get involved in this, and you're going to do the same thing I did, which was, you're going to become a cop, you're not going to travel, you're going to have 3 marriages. Like, there's no need for this. Go be in the world. Be the world. Enjoy life. If you want to be a cop, it's always going to be here. There's always going to be a need for police officers, and you don't have to worry about doing this right now. And I was so, at 18, so sure of what my path was. And I wanted to protect and serve. That's what I want to do. I want to give to my community, my society in this way. And I thought I could be a really good police officer. And that's where my drive was coming from. But he really supported me and actually he put the screws to me is what he did. Him and the other trainers made it so impossible. There was no way that I could actually pass. So I actually dropped out, soon after that conversation.
Well, that's a very fortuitous break, you might say. I mean, given who you are now, which we're going to find out more about, that was very astute of that man. And he must have seen something in you, Sean, that you might not have seen in yourself at that time. Could that be possible?
I so think that's exactly what was going on, Lori. This individual was actually, even though a police officer, but he was a really wise man. And actually really enjoyed what he did and didn't take himself too seriously. I think that's what happens when people get too identified with a particular archetype, like a warrior or for instance a police officer, like that cop archetype. But he was a man, not a cop. Like, he was really clear about that, and that's why I was so glad that he's a trainer. Like, especially nowadays, like I'm so glad that he was out there training people instead of some really hard nosed type of folks. But I was really depressed that I got washed out of the academy at 18, and then they're on CNN were all these people lining up for Desert Shield in Saudi Arabia, and I thought, well, I'm not in the police academy, but there's a war going on. This is my war. I need to go be part of the war, and so I went down and joined the military and that was in the summer, before Desert Storm actually happened. So I had to wait. There were so many people that signed up during that time that I actually couldn't, I had to wait 6 months to go in the military. There was a lot of opportunities for not to go in the military, but I decided to go in and I joined the Air Force. And I was in basic training during the entire war that lasted 10 days. So I there was no war for me in my career, but, what happened was, while I was in the Air Force, I became a trainer of law enforcement and small arms training. So actually, I was in anti-terrorism and learned how to teach people to shoot guns and how to do close quarter combat. And that's where my path was for the next 4 years from that point, which was, that was in 2000, right? No, I'm sorry, that was in
1990.
It was 91 to 95 is when I was in the Air Force.
Okay, got it.
So,
the only thing so far that resembles the you that I know now is the closed quarters. The closed quarters.
Yeah. That's about it. Well, and also the teaching. You know, the teaching's another thing.
Oh, right. Sorry.
No, it's okay, because actually, you know, the military gave me some really wonderful things. One of those things was the ability to teach groups of people. What happened for me was I just went down such a path to the point where someone would invite me to go hunting, and I would actually have this ability to go, no, it's not really fair. That's how good of a shot I was. Give me a spear or give me a bow and arrow, I'll go hunting, but I'm not... See, to put a gun in my hands is not a fair, that's not a fair fight. That's how accurate and competent and skilled I was in combat. So you trained others.
You were really like a no nonsense, like no kidding,
totally.
Warrior that could, you know, you're deadly in a certain way. No?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Between the distance of 2 feet to 500 yards, I had the advantage.
Wow.
Yep.
It's amazing. Right. And I want to go back for a minute, because it's always intrigued me when somebody wants to be a police officer or a warrior like that. Was your upbringing, I'm not going to psychoanalyze you, of course, I don't want to do that, but I mean, was your upbringing, like, was there anyone else in your family who was an officer or a marksman?
No, that's the interesting part about that is that I was raised in a very liberal household. I was the only quote unquote Republican in the house. I was a very interesting conservative kid I grew up in Laguna Beach, California. It's a very liberal city. And my parents were spiritual, but not religious. And they just shook their head at me and they didn't get it. My sister couldn't figure me out at all. She was a really big liberal. But I did have a brother and an uncle who also went in the Air Force. And both of them at that time when I went in were millionaires. And they said that they didn't need college, that the military gave them everything they needed, and neither one of them were officers, which I thought was really interesting. And they both went in the Air Force. So I went in the Air Force and didn't have to, I never flew a plane or fixed a plane or did anything with planes for that matter. I got put into a very army-like situation that the Air Force had to do, which was I actually did law enforcement in the military. I mean, that's in the Air Force. I was just the ground troop for the Air Force. But there was no one else. I played Army a lot. When I was a kid, I used to fantasize and play Army all the time. And so I think there was like this desire to be the knight or the archetype of the warrior, for sure.
So you actually were one of these guys that I'm talking about in the World War II movies. You could have been Robert Mitchum in your fantasy life.
I there was always that desire inside me as a young boy to be the hero. It would have seemed really heroic for me to land on a grenade to save everyone else.
Okay, I got it. Wow. Wow. I can see you were steeped in that archetype, you know, of warrior, even from being a little boy. I mean, there are probably lots of boys who have that. I mean, my archetype was Joan of Arc. You know, I was going to go, you know, be burned at the stake for saving the planet. You know?
Yeah.
And you were going to step on a grenade to save the planet, to save humankind. Sure. So I actually can identify with you a lot. And I imagine that lots of people can identify with that, Sean. I mean, it's not far-fetched at all.
Yeah, it's totally the selflessness that seems so heroic and of value in our society. Like, heroes are so valued in our society. And so as a young boy trying to figure out his way, that's what it was. And so, it was interesting because actually it was my senior year that I made the decision to kind of go down that path, in high school. But before all that, I wanted to be a filmmaker. I wanted to be creative and artistic, and I wanted to be in the filmmaking business. And then I won all these awards for being a filmmaker when I was in high school. And then when I applied to one school, because I thought I was bulletproof, and they gave me the Hollywood treatment when I got denied a place in the school, I my self-esteem couldn't handle it. No way. It was way too much rejection for me. And I crumbled, and that's when the law enforcement was a next option.
Right, like your backup plan, but something that had always been a fantasy, so not so far.
Totally, yes. And I always wanted to, so I was, and I was good at what I did. I was so good at it in 1994. My third year in, I won Airman of the Year, which is, like basically there's officers and airmen. I won Airman of the Year for the entire Air Force.
Wow.
So I not only was I good at what I did, I excelled completely and was highly, you know, rewarded and seen for what I did. But there's no money in that. I mean, all it is another ribbon. All it is another certificate or trophy. So the reason why I got out of the military was because I saw so many of my supervisors on food stamps, and I thought that was wrong. I didn't make sense. And also a lot of my naiveness around being a warrior was quickly replaced with the reality of what that means.
Yes. Well, we're gonna break here for a second. In case you've just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe. This is Laurie Handlers, your host, and my guest today is Sean Roop, who is a Tantra teacher. He's an amazing student and teacher of life wisdom, and he started out, if you can believe this, his career as a warrior and received a major award, a major commendation in the United States Air Force, and that's what we've just been talking about. When we come back, and I'm going to ask Sean some questions about how his love life was while he was in the military before we turn around to find out how we became a teacher of love, a lover, so to speak. So please stay tuned.
Have you ever wished for an end to pests in and around your home, around your office? Stop paying for dangerous chemicals that can harm your children, your pets, and your clients. Today in Arizona and Florida, an environmentally responsible pest control company named Ladybug has set up shop to provide natural and organic pest control services. Ladybug can help you stop even the most persistent, nastiest bugs with green, organic products that are friendly to people and pets. In addition, there are franchise opportunities in Arizona, Florida, and throughout the USA. To learn more about Ladybug's home-friendly and earth-smart green pest control services, visit the Ladybug website at ladybugcorp.com or call us at 561-276-7600. Ladybug guarantees you another eco-friendly, pest-free day, naturally.
Wondering what book you should read to jumpstart your sex life and increase your happiness? Try my book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by me, Laurie Handlers. This short, easy-to-read book will make you laugh at yourself, and it may possibly make you cry as you discover my tantric secrets for happiness and how they apply to you. In the book, I begin with the 10th law, make love in the unknown, and then I work you all the way through laws 1 through 9 to teach you how to be in the unknown, fresh, every moment of every day of your life. Sex and Happiness puts the innocence and love back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. It's only $19.99 in paperback and $14.99 ebook. Go to sexandhappiness.com to order your copy of Sex and Happiness by me, Laurie Handlers, the host of Tantra Cafe. Hi there, this is Laurie Handlers, and today my guest is Sean Roop here on Tantra Cafe. And we're talking about how someone goes from being a trained warrior, somebody who trains people in combat, close-up combat, and also in shooting, becomes a lover, becomes a teacher of love. And recently, Sean and I got to meet each other again. We have met each other before, but we got to meet each other. I just want to talk about this for a moment at the International School of Temple Arts Conference, which was founded by Babadez Nichols. And this group is developing conferences and trainings worldwide, along with a consortium of practitioners and educators like us, who cooperate and benefit from expanding the network Temple Arts across continents, cultures, mores, and history. You can find out more about the International School of Temple Arts at www.schooloftemplearts.com. So, Sean, it was great to see you again at that conference, and that's where I got the idea to have you as my guest on Tantra Cafe again. You did a great job there, and you really are an excellent trainer. So you did well in the United States Air Force. Like, obviously, you got lots of gifts there. Tell me just a little bit before we go into that, what was your love life like when you were actually enlisted in the Air Force?
Messy.
What?
It was very messy. What was probably the biggest thing is that I still had this idea that I should I was looking for this one person that was going to fulfill my everything. And I was kind of putting the cart before the horse with a lot of that. I was really bad at my dating scene because I was always evaluating, are they marriage material? Are they marriage material? Or do they like me? Would they marry me? And I'm serious. Like, it was really messy and my sex life was horrifically bad. I mean, it was just, it was embarrassing in the sense of my skills and my ability to really connect. I was a giver. And I was really available to give to people, in a sweet giving way, but I didn't know how to receive, that's for sure. Not at all.
Wow.
It was dysfunctional. and I didn't have a whole lot of lovers. I mean, when I was in the Air Force, I really had a lot of low self-esteem, even though I was excelling in my career. When it came to my love life, I didn't have a lot of ability to really, connect on a level that I felt comfortable with, that's for sure.
You know, it's great. It's so great that you said that and actually that you laughed at it too, because if we took that, example that you just gave, that you were like excelling in your military career, you were being awarded esteem that maybe no one else gets awarded very much. You know, most military people do not get, you know, the primo award. And you did really well.
One person a year.
What?
One person a year.
Yeah, one person a year. So here you are at the top of your game in the military and your love life is not good. It's, you know, it's messy. You have low self-esteem. I imagine, I'm just saying this because I'm sure there are people out there listening to this. I'm quite certain that there's plenty of people, and I could say men, but I think it's men and women who are at the top of their game in something. They could be a top athlete, a top business person, and yet their self-esteem is so low, they have no idea how to actually give or receive, and they don't know anything about being a lover, or very, very little, you know, just something that they watched in a film, in some stupid film, or they heard about in, you know, in music, but they really don't have any skills like the kind of skills we're talking about that you developed, you know, at a very early age. So I just want to say that because I think it sets the backdrop for where you went from there, you know, which is an amazing transition.
Luckily, I before I joined the military, I had a foundation in the Hawaiian shamanistic art, the Huna. But all that did was give me an ability to know energy better, and I could heal, but I really didn't have the skills to relate. And I think that's a big thing that's missing for a lot of people.
Can you say just a little something more about that practice so that I can know what it is? That Hawaiian practice?
Yeah, it's called Huna, which is from the Hawaiians you've heard of a big kahuna, right? You've heard of that term, like
right.
Kahuna?
Right. So kahuna is everyone has big kahuna, sure.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. So a kahuna is nothing more than a practitioner of the art of Huna. And there was kahunas for farming and for surfing, and there was also kahunas for healing and magic. And so I went down the path of healing and magic. So I was really initiated into a very deep lineage, and still, I'm still very much a part of it. But what's interesting is that there was many people that told me you carry the healer energy in you. And I didn't know what that meant. And so actually the best I could do with it was, oh, that means I'm a protector of the healers. That's what I'm, a warrior of the healers, I guess.
Wow.
So Lori, does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
That's right.
I can identify with all of it because I feel, you know, everything you're saying, yeah. You know, warrior, yeah. Goddess, protector, right. Of healing, protector of healers. Sure, yeah. Sean. It's, sure. It's very, you know, it's familiar to me. Listen, I had fantasies too of wanting to be, I once dated somebody who was an Army Ranger.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And I was really jealous. I, if I tell you the truth, I was really jealous of things he did. I was jealous of rappelling down mountain ranges, and I was jealous of his weaponry, you know, artistry, and I was jealous of a lot of things. There was a part of me that I would have loved to have experienced that in a certain way. So. Yeah. Thanks for asking.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I think that's where a lot of us might come from in this place. And so back then, again, it was the only way that I could merge the two together at any level for my head to actually grasp it. The first duty station that I had was in Las Vegas, Nevada at a base called Nellis Air Force Base. And what was interesting is that that's where I started to think outside the box, and actually there was a store there called the Psychic Eye Bookstore, and that was before, you know, psychic, esoteric bookstores were really readily available all over the place, but this one was actually a superstore of like psychics and crystals and all this other kind of stuff. And I used to go in there on the weekends, and I'd just get lost in there, and I felt really at home, even though I had the military haircut and I was in the military, I would still hang out there, But I would never tell anyone that I was doing that. It was almost like I was in some sort of porn shop or something, as far as I was considered. Like, no one that I worked with would know that I was going to the Psychic Eye bookstore.
Right. I can understand that. It would be frowned upon.
Yeah. So I was really in the closet, if you will, when it came to my energy work and my ability to be a magician, if you will. So then I got transferred and I from Vegas to England, and something really amazing happened there. Because of this opportunity, the United States government paid for me to learn how to be psychic.
Oh,
your
wow.
tax dollars, my tax dollars support training on psychic warfare and psychological ops. And so what I learned how to do was to stand outside of a building, project myself into the building, and actually find where there might be targets.
That's amazing. And my mouth is, you can't see me right now, but my mouth is dropped to the floor.
That's
amazing.
All the time.
And I know about this stuff, but it's so amazing that you got to participate in it.
Yes.
It's amazing.
I did. And I was handpicked to do that. And it was a multi joint force task type training that happened, and it was really weird. But what happened was that I learned some very, very, very cool things, that for my own life. And the biggest one that I learned, which really set the stage for some other things in my life, is that, there's things that go on in this life that I may not know about, but if I get out of my way, I'll experience them.
Wait, say that again. If I go out of my way, what?
If I get out of my way.
Oh, get out. Okay.
If I just get out of my way, I'll be able to experience the magic of life. That my abilities will actually expand more than I could ever imagine. And the whole training was nothing more than pretend. Pretend you can do that, Rupe. Just keep pretending you can do it. And then all of a sudden, I just got out of my way, and even though I was in my mind pretending that I was doing something, I was getting up to 90% accuracy when I would actually be able to identify targets within a building. That's amazing.
Yes.
It's very big.
You're proving something here. It's kind of like proving something here that lots of people without science, without a scientific background, don't want to hear about, but you're actually justifying something that plenty of people today believe, that they can read things, they can hear things before they happen, they can sense things, and that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's right. So with that being said, that kind of opened me up, and then I got a little more exposed to some other things while I was in England, because England's has a different society, different culture. I opened myself up more and more because I was outside of the American society. When I got out, in 94, 95, was right on the edge there. When I got out, I was really, ready to go back to the police academy. I was ready. I had done my service. I had become an anti-terrorism sniper. So my job was to snipe other snipers. And I had excelled at it. I had reached the top of what I could do. And I got out, and no one could understand why I was getting out, but I was like, cause I'm not happy doing this, cause there's a lot of mess in the military, a lot of overspending, and the missions were a disaster. It was like, why am I fighting for something I really don't believe in? And that's what happened. So I got out,
so you
and I
had
wasn't
a change
become
of heart. You had a big change of heart there.
Big time.
Seeing the reality.
Because
it's one thing to have
the
a theory, but it's another thing to see it.
Totally. Oh yeah, when you're looking at movies, like you were talking about in your intro, everything seems pretty groovy and everyone's on task and the vision seems pretty clear. When you're there in reality, it's a mess. It's a mess.
Yeah.
And I was happy to get out of the Air Force. I was really happy.
Wow. So, well, we're gonna stop here for a second, and then we're gonna find out about this whole being a lover, teaching people about love, teaching people about Tantra. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe, and I'm having this amazing conversation with Sean Roop, who was an excellent Air Force person and then also taught in the police academy, was just an amazing warrior, and he turned himself into lover and into tantric lover, into a teacher of a tantric counselor, a certified therapist in tantra. He changed his whole life in the direction it was going. So we're going to hear more about that. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you stuck in an area of your life? For example, having challenging or negative relationships? Are you feeling unfulfilled? Perhaps you're experiencing a lack of energy or possibly even tension in your body. I feel you need to call Kate Holt. Kate Holt is a core energetics practitioner. Whether you work with Kate in a group or in a private session, you'll feel like you're coming home to yourself. You'll become more comfortable in your own skin. You'll discover your unique gifts and be supported to bring them fully into the world. You'll be empowered to create the life you want and have more pleasure and fulfillment. Don't waste another minute feeling stuck. Really. Call 856-261-4900 for a consultation. Or visit www.kateholt.info. That's kateholt.info.
Well, we're back with Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. My guest today is Sean Roop, and he's telling us his amazing story about being an excellent Air Force person, not a pilot, but an Air Force warrior, somebody with medals and decorations and a person who could teach people combat, and then a police academy instructor, and that's amazing in itself. And it's also about duality, and maybe not. It could be about duality, which I pointed out earlier, but it also could be about full integration, because his life takes a turn and he becomes his own tantric quest. So, Sean, how did you get this change of heart? How did things change up for you and have your interest, aside from the fact that you had the Hawaiian healing and you were learning all this psychic stuff in England when you were there? How did it gel? How did it come together?
Well, when I got out of the military, I wanted to become a law enforcement. I wanted to go back in law enforcement, but fate had another deal for me. And the week I was supposed to go in the police academy, I slipped on some Haagen-Dazs that was filled at a mall and broke my hand, and I missed that academy. And because of that, I got finagled into my family business. My mom and dad had a business in Orange County in Laguna where they had a towing store. So actually I stepped away from all that warrior stuff. But what's interesting is that one thing that I missed was the camaraderie. And so then I jumped into martial arts and was actually quite successful in the martial arts. I joined Taekwondo. Got my black belt, and I was competing and fighting in Taekwondo, and was pretty successful at that for quite a while. So the warrior in me continued, and then I learned defense. So now I'm playing with swords, and I'm doing martial arts and competing in both of those. And then I started playing ice hockey, and that's a pretty violent sport. So I just kept going with it. It was so funny, even though I wasn't involved in things. I was still in that competitive or aggressive mentality. I was sweet. I mean, I'm a sweet guy. I was never like, you know, a jerk or anything like that. But what I was doing was playing with it like a cat with a mouse. Like I was goofing with it, but at a distance. And then I continued to have relationship woes. And then I heard about Tantra and decided to see if that could possibly help me. And I was in a 3-year relationship that was really boring and non-romantic, and I thought it was, the sex issues were because of me and my ability and skills to be sexual and to be a sex master, if you will, was so far away from my ideas. And so I actually booked a tantra session to help me learn how to give more to a woman, and I got something far different.
I just have to say that I love that about you, that you decided it was you.
Yeah.
You know, That's another rare thing, Sean. I mean, that's another rare quality for a man to decide, okay, I'm going to go find out about this. I mean, I guess it comes from the fact that you became so highly trained and you're not opposed to training. But still, I'm making the point because there are so many men who feel it's her fault. You know, it's the woman's fault. If she wasn't so moody, or she didn't have her menstrual period, if she didn't have these things, she would be less bitchy, easier to deal with, and she'd definitely be a better, better sex. There'd be better sex. And you're saying you went and you sought out training for yourself, which I commend you, and I feel that it's definitely needed and necessary, and I love that you did it.
Thanks for that, Lori. I appreciate that. And it was a big turning point for me, because what I got from it was not so much that I needed to learn skills how to please another person, but what I needed to do is how to please myself, so that I wasn't coming across as needy, because that's what I was doing. Again, it was so codependent. I was in such a codependent cycle that there was no room for me to excel as long as I believed that's how it should be.
Right.
So Tantra, the very first Tantra session, broke something deep inside me to break the model that I needed to codepend. And offered me independence, which made room for me to have a healthy relationship.
Wow. You're saying a lot. I mean, it's power packed what you're saying, because a lot of people feel still stuck. Their partner has to please them. If the partner doesn't please them, again, it's the partner's fault. So again, all this self responsibility that you're talking about, breaking the pattern of codependence. Excellent. So from that minute on, did you know you would teach Tantra? Did you took to it like a duck to water?
No, I went back into that hole that I guess I'm here to protect the Tantricas now. Now I thought I was going to be a temple guardian. You see? So in my dysfunction around that, I was being told that I should be teaching. I mean, almost immediately, it's like, this is in you. You were born with this. And there was desire for me to be exploring it on a deeper level, but I was kind of playing it small because I didn't feel that was me. There was so much inside of me around my energy and my ability to share my energy. I just didn't have the self-esteem, and I knew how to give, but I didn't know how to receive. And so the moment that I shifted that, things changed within me, and I needed to acclimate. I needed to get my lay of the land with that newness. So rather than reaching right out and helping other people, I was still pretty self-serving and having my own experience, my own journey. But I had teachers that were pretty much sure that this is what I should be doing for a living. And then the very first time I taught was actually, I was tricked. I was actually tricked to teach something about NLP. And so I went up there and did this little talk, which it was in my wheelhouse. I could easily teach NLP to a room full of Tantricas, but then the main teacher kept me up on stage and wouldn't let me go, and I was forced to start sharing some of my own experiences and my own wisdom that was coming through from my journey. And thus was born a Tantric teacher.
I love this. I love that you were tricked and you did good. I want to go back for a minute because not everybody understands what NLP is, neuro-linguistic programming. And it is a handy thing to have, and it could be, sometimes it could be used for the wrong purposes, sometimes it's used for the right purposes. But you want to just say a little something about that so people can get a full understanding of NLP? No. Not
sure.
A full understanding, a little understanding of NLP.
Yeah, a snippet. Well, basically, what for me, what NLP has been the greatest gift that I've gotten, that I've received from it, is to learn how to have a deep relationship with my unconscious, my conscious, and my higher self. Through language, through thought, through energy, through really knowing myself and actually being able to hear better other people. NLP gave me the skills to be more available, and that was a really big piece of the puzzle. And I think it goes really hand in hand with Tantra, because communication is something that in our society is a big thing. People don't know how to communicate at the levels they might like to. I mean, they really have this intention, this desire to communicate well. But, the English language doesn't always support us in that.
Right, right.
So NLP breaks that down, and it is relearning how to speak, but what it does is it opens up our internal dialogue in a whole new way and allows us to have external dialogue that moves and we actually can be heard. And there's a lot of tantra in that.
That's beautiful. I actually use an NLP technique in my classes. I have one of those bells, like the kind of bell that you might find at the deli counter. And whenever anybody says something really profound in my class, I ring the bell and I explain to people that I'm anchoring that thought and that phrase into not only the person who said it, but the people in the class as well. So they start to get that anchored into their system.
Yeah.
And some people have told me that the bell reminds them of Catholic school. I guess they got it anchored some much earlier. But that's how I use a little bit of NLP in my classes. So this is great.
I found a rapport to be a big thing too. That's one of the big things for NLP that taught me a lot is rapport.
It probably gave you a system.
It did.
That you could follow and then expand from in terms of getting to know people and getting to know yourself. It's very powerful stuff. Very powerful stuff. So you used NLP and then you were tricked, you know, they told you to make a NLP demo or something, a little piece on NLP, and then you were standing there and there you were teaching. How long into your study of Tantra was this?
About 8 months in.
Oh. So here you were, people recognizing you as a leader, and you going, I don't know.
because I was like, hey, I'm not in a place where I could, you know, that all that I can't, I'm not, I'm the, you know, I was identifying myself. And it took someone to go, whatever, and put up the BS flag and get me tricked to get beyond that, because what was so real is that my story and my life was so vanilla. It wasn't like I was some new agey guy exploring Tantra. Like, I was the guy's guy who was finding Tantra. And this particular teacher really desired me to share this because there was a value in that. That Tantra doesn't require you to be some yogi with robes on and the beard to really excel at it or to find grace within your life.
Right, you don't have to be a particular image. You can be anybody and find the greatness and the pleasure and the actual self-responsibility, everything you're speaking about, the tools and knowledge.
Yeah.
So good. What a smart teacher.
I agree. She was really, her name is Corinna Clark. She's a pretty amazing woman, and she really supported me a lot. In my beginning of my Tantra career, I really owe her a lot for holding the tightrope and the safety net. She did both for me.
Yeah, amazing. Wonderful. Well, I'm so glad that she saw that in you, because you're certainly adding some new dimensions to this Tantra world, and you're saying things that, your background and everything really allows a whole other genre of people to get that this could be for them. It's, while while your career in the Air Force and Police Academy may not be totally mainstream, because you excelled in those things and not everyone gets to do that and so on, but it certainly comes from the whole other side of life, which is, which keeps things in balance, which, the life where men do want to be John Wayne. So it allows John Wayne to become this beautiful lover, to become Cupid, if you will, or, whatever, some great, God. So it's good stuff.
Something so amazing happened to me along that journey, which was there was a point where I actually had to put to rest the warrior within me. Because what I realized was that through the deeper I opened up, and this gets kind of new agey, but the deeper I opened up, the more that I really got in touch with my past lives and how often I have died in the name of war, and on the battlefield, leaving loved ones far, far away and other while I was dying on foreign soil. And I just became really fatigued with how much loss, and how early I was leaving the planet each time. And I'm really thankful that for whatever reason, the universe really conspired to keep that away from happening, like to keep that from happening this time around.
Yeah.
Because, I got the memo that there's no need for me to be in battle this time. And actually, it's okay that I learned how to teach people to kill, because now my job is to teach people to love. That's
yeah.
a big, big transformation.
Great stuff, Sean. Great stuff. Well, if you just tuned in, you are listening to Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and my guest today is Sean Roop. And he's telling his amazing story of how he went from being a career, not a career, but an enlisted Air Force, decorated Air Force warrior, to becoming a Tantra teacher, how he was tricked into it. It's quite an amazing story. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Sean about what he's up to now. He's just written a book, and he has some messages for everyone in that book, so I'll be asking him about that. So please, please stay tuned. And also, just want to let you know that if you're stuck in any area of your life, or if you're having negative relationships or feeling unfulfilled, you should probably really call Kate Holt. She's a core energetics practitioner. And you may have heard something about her before on the show, and I just want to let you know that you should call Kate. She can really help you get unstuck. You can call her at 856-261-4900 for a consultation. Or you can go to www.kateholt.info. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Many times on Tantra Cafe, you've heard my guests and me discuss emotional release techniques. Now, you can do emotional release work in the privacy of your own home. In my CD, Shamanic Release in Lati Han, I create a very, very safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work I'm known for in my Tantra courses. First, I set you up with the proper positioning and breathing, and then I guide you through emotional states to the beat of tribal African rhythms. Try the CD as an easy way to do your personal clearing work on a regular basis and watch your relationships walk free from emotional baggage. You can order my CD at butterflyworkshops.com for only $20. I believe you're worth it. I hope you do. Go to butterflyworkshops.com and get your copy now and walk free from emotional baggage.
I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm back today with you on Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. My guest today is Sean Roop, telling us this amazing story about going from warrior to lover. Sean, what are you up to these days? I know you have something that you run in San Diego called Tantra Quest, which is a Tantra training center, and I also know that you're part of a Tantra theater group. So share a little bit about that and how people can find you, and then I want to hear about this book you just came out with.
Great. Well, it's burning so many wicks at multiple times right now, but it's fun. I have a center called Tantra Quest in San Diego, and that's where I do trainings, and I have weekly trainings there. Sometimes there's three or four events a week that I'm running. I do anything from the most beginning 2-hour talks all the way to 10-day programs here. And whether they're group activities or individuals, I support people on their path of learning and exploring Tantra in a really safe and expansive way. Whatever that looks like to them, my gift is to be able to uniquely offer Tantra to where people are. And that's what was offered to me, and so I like to share that. And with that, the San Diego is a hotbed for Tantra. There's so many teachers here in San Diego. So one of my friends, Kamala Devi, has had this vision to create a thing called Tantra Theater. And so If you'd like to take a look at that stuff, you can go to SanDiegoTantraTheater.tv or San Diego, or just TantraTheater.tv. And there's, it's free. There's all the clips of the stuff that we've been doing. There's hours of performances that are there you can watch. And we do that because we understand that Tantra on stage, being on stage is very much having a tantric experience. Like it's just letting it all go and finding creativity in the most amazing ways and exploring topics that aren't always the easiest ones. That's really fun. I really enjoy that. In fact, I have, rehearsals tonight for a show that we're doing in a few weeks here in San Diego. The third Saturday of every week we performed in downtown San Diego. And I just got done finishing writing a book, and that's been really exciting, and it's amazing. It's for sale now, and things are going well, for a project that I swore I would never do, but I did it.
A lot of these things sound like some things that you swore you'd never do. And then you didn't. I mean, did they have to trick you into the theater?
They didn't. No, I was a ham as it is, being a teacher. That was really easy. Although I take that back. What I swore I would never do is, or what I said I would never sing on stage. I said, I'm not singing on stage. I'm not doing any. And then, last month I sang on stage. So yeah, I guess that's true. I have been tricked into doing some things, which is just me getting out of my way again. That's all.
That's great, Sean. Really great. You're a true example of how this stuff works. You really just keep pushing past your boundaries and getting in, growing, like just getting bigger and bigger, it would seem. What's the name of the book that you wrote?
The book is called Pathways to Love, 28 Days to Self-Love. So Pathways to Love is a series of books I'm going to be doing. This is the first, which is learning to have a soulmate-like relationship with yourself. This was the first teaching that Tantra offered me, and I wanted to share this with people, and I wanted to write a book that was of tantric wisdom without all the dogma or the complexity that Tantra can scare people away with. There's some people who are really like, oh, I don't know, that's Tantra because of this or that, because of the media and how it shares things. And yet the book is chock full of these wisdoms in a very contemporary, some simple way. And it's 28 days of practices to learn how to love yourself and learn yourself more.
It's excellent. Sounds excellent. And how can people, how can people get the book and then give us a couple of scoops, like what's inside?
Sure. The book's for sale on my website, tantraquest.com. Or it's also available on Amazon. And again, it's Pathways to Love, 28 Days of Self-Love. And again, it's such a simple book. What I love about it is I really wanted to be at the most beginning level, but even if someone who had some experience could pick it up and grab things from it. And the initial response from the readers that I had who were in the proof stage are giving me the feedback that I nailed it. So I'm really excited about that. I really hit the mark of what I was trying to do. So some of the 28 days of practices, might look like, changing the start of your day. So there's a few pages of how to really look at how can you wake up and do things differently than you normally do so you can break patterns so that change can come, when you step off the railroad tracks of the day-to-day stuff. How you drive to work, how you brush your teeth, when you eat, that kind of stuff. So it's just one day of how to change the start of your day will affect your whole day.
And that's
one of
excellent.
One of the medicines. Yeah.
So it's like actually asking people to just break their patterns simply.
You got it.
And then see what's there when they do that.
And everyone has this experience. If you ask anyone who went to school and had a half day, it's a great example of when you break the pattern of what's supposed to be, and there's like an assembly or a half day or something like that, there's a feeling of that day was totally different. And that's a good example of, because school is such a pattern thing. You go to school, you go to your classes, you get out at the same time. But when you break that up, the day shifts. And when we do the same thing as adults, when we can shift our day, then we'll actually have new experiences, which is a pretty exciting concept. And simple, people.
To me, that's the whole idea of Tantra, to have fresh new experiences all the time, moment by moment, no matter what it is, it doesn't have to be with making love. It has to, it's like making love to life, just having a fresh experience every moment of the time by actually breaking things up, breaking up the patterns, breaking up everything.
And then sex no longer becomes something that you do. It's something that you get to co-create in all the time. Sexuality becomes not just something you do in the bedroom when you're naked. Sexuality is seen and experienced on so many levels, and I think that's a big teaching of Tantra that a lot of people miss, because they might be really involved in the exercises and the practices, and they miss how to really take those exercises and practices and put them into play on our day-to-day life. And so by changing the day, you can.
It's a great place to stop. So I want to let people just know that I've been talking to Sean Roop, and you have nailed it, Sean. You have nailed it. You know, the whole idea of taking it out of what people's assumption is, taking out your own assumptions, how you were going to like save the world from terrorism, and you actually became a gifted, talented Tantra teacher, lover, and you're breaking up the patterns all the time. It's a great way to be. It's a great way to live. It's a great example of somebody who has just busted up his paradigm over and over again. So thanks for doing that, Sean.
Thank you for acknowledging me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for doing that. Listen, if you want to get in touch with Sean Roop and know anything more about the classes that he's holding, whether it be an introductory class or whether it be something that's last 10 days or more, you should go to tantraquest.com, and you can find him also on Tantra TV. Can you give that address again, that Tantra Theater Group?
Yeah, tantratv.com. Tantratv.tv. Yeah. Once again, it's tantratheater.tv.
Tantratheater.tv. Yeah, if you can't make it to San Diego, you should definitely go to tantratheater.tv and see what he and his colleagues are doing. So thanks, Sean. Thanks for being my guest today. What a pleasure it was to have you here. And next week, my guest will talk about how to stay juicy, like how women can stay juicy during and after menopause, which is quite a challenge. I can tell you that myself. So please tune into Tantra Cafe when my guest talks about being a juicy woman forever throughout all of your time here. And this is Laurie Handlers. I'm saying namaste from Tantra Cafe. I bow to the divine in you. Thank you. Namaste.